Thank you, Rabbi. I appreciate it. Thank you, Rabbi Union. It brings me back. As I told you before, I remember I was in fifth grade, sixth grade at the Young Israel of Beverly Hills, and I remember hearing Rabbi Union Darshan in the opening Mishnah and Sukkah on Sukkot, and with fond memories. Every time I relearn that Mishnah, I hear your voice going through that Mishnah, and it's a beautiful thing to hear you once again. 5 minutes to the shofar blowing, and the problem is many shuls 5 minutes to shofar blowing have a kiddush before you hear shofar. So right now we should be passing out herring. Rabul, do you have any? So anyways, I thought about the problem of talking about anything 5 minutes before shofar is that everyone gets inspired by something else. Some of us have a little chassidish side to us. Some of us have a litvish side to us. Some of us are shtickle mekubalim. Some of us like the self-help. So which route should I go here? I mean, there's thousands of things to say. So I'm going to, if you don't mind, in the next 16 minutes, I'm going to throw at you. I tried to cover every base. I'm sure I missed something. But I'm going to try to cover every base from all different sides of the spectrum. This way, everyone ends up walks home happy. Okay, let's start from the Mekubal. Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, right? The great 17th century philosopher, Talmudic scholar, and also Mekubal. Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz says, what makes the shofar so powerful? You don't make the shofar such a powerful symbol? Because it's the symbol of creation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim, that God breathed into man the soul of life. So when we blow a shofar, what we're doing is, we're blowing from the very essence of where creation started. Breath came into us, and the shofar comes from the depth of our breath itself. So in a sense, it's the perfect symbol for Rosh Hashanah, which goes back to creation, which is going, it's like reversing the entire process, like everything just coming back full circle. It's the perfect catharsis. God breathed into us, vayipach be'apav, and we go through history, go through our year, and then we restore that breath, so to speak, by blowing from the very depths of us into that shofar. That's what we're doing. We're restoring everything back to where it came from, back to creation. Vayipach be'apav nishmas chayim, that God breathed into us. That's the Mekubal. Next, let's go to the Baal Machshava, the philosopher, the Rav Itamar Schwartz in his Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. He's a philosopher who's writing now every year. Five more books keep coming out. I don't know when he has time to write. He's always flying and speaking. Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, powerful stuff. So he brings up the Rambam. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva talks about, and also the third halach in Hilchas Tshuva, talks about the shofar, how the mitzvah of the shofar itself, right, by the tkiah shofar, the mitzvah of the shofar itself is not on the tkiah, the mitzvah is on the shmiah. The mitzvah is on the hearing of the shofar, right? It's on the listening, not on the blowing. We're all yotzei by what we hear, right? Therefore, for example, says the Rambam, if somebody steals a shofar, let's say they didn't know, right? They stole a shofar, and they blow it, you are yotzei through a stolen shofar. A stolen lulav, if you didn't realize you had a stolen lulav, you're not yotzei, you're not exempt. But when it comes to a shofar, you're yotzei. Why? Because the mitzvah is on the shmia. The mitzvah is in the, as the Lechem Mishnah says, b'shmia talya milsa. It's all hinging on the listening. That's why. Now, it's not the listening alone, because if it were, then you could have someone who's not obligated at all blow the shofar, and yet that wouldn't work. Let's say somebody not Jewish, who has no mitzvah to blow the shofar. If they blow the shofar for you, it doesn't count. Why? I thought it's all in the listening. So you see, it's in the shmia, but it has to come from a source that is an authentic halachic voice, a authentic halachic call. So the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne wants to give a deeper idea as to why the shofar is not a problem, it's not eliminated when it's something that is stolen. Why isn't it considered puzzle for the shofar? Of course everyone agrees you shouldn't steal a shofar. But let's say you didn't realize and you blow from it or you hear from it. Why are you still yotzei? Why wasn't it eliminated? So in a very deep idea, he says the following. The Gemara tells us why a korban, an offering, can't be stolen. You know why an offering can't be stolen? Because it says, Adam ki yakriv mikem, when a person brings from you. The Gemara says, ma Adam. What do you mean Adam, a person? Adam, just like Adam the first man, brought an offering. Whatever he did in this life was only of his. He didn't take from anybody else, right? There was no one else to take from. He didn't steal from anybody else. So to your korban, so to your offering, has to come from something that doesn't belong to anything else. So says the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, when we talk about stealing, there's two components to stealing. Number one, I'm not allowed to steal in the sense that I can't take anything from somebody else. I can't take anything from somebody else. Or there's the stealing that's spoken about in the times of Adam. That stealing wasn't about taking from somebody else. That was the idea that there was no other owner in the world possible to take from. At the beginning of creation, when there was just Adam and Eve, there was nobody else to steal from in the world. There was nobody. So says the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, Rosh Hashanah is going back to the beginning of creation. If it's going back to the beginning of creation, there's no concept of stealing yet. You understand? There's nobody to steal from. Therefore, a shofar which is stolen, while you're not allowed to steal, a shofar which is stolen cannot invalidate the shofar sounds, because there's no real such din of gzela from the beginning of creation. That's what the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne says. You have to wrap your mind around that one, whatever exactly he's getting at. Okay, the next, let's hear from the Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe. What does the Lubavitcher Rebbe say for the Chassidim out there? So Lubavitcher Rebbe points to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Tes Zayin, right? As Rabbi Union had quoted, right? It says, "Kedei shetam lichuni aleichem." You should blow the shofar so as to coronate me upon you. And with what? B'meh, asked the Gemara, with what are you going to coronate me with? B'shofar. With the shofar, says the Gemara. That's how we use to coronate God, so to speak. So ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe, how does the shofar work to coronate God? How does that work to coronate God? So what a beautiful answer from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Rebbe says that shofar is what God asked you to bring on this day. He didn't ask you to coronate him on this day with a chiddush in the Torah, a new insight into the Torah. He didn't ask you to do something, you know, Herculean, to do something unbelievable, mind-shattering, that's never been done before. He asked you just to do something very simple. A kol demama daka, a simple voice. From what? Maybe from the most beautiful trumpet in the world, from the most magnificent device in the world. No. From the horn of an animal. Maybe from the most important and chashiv, the most valuable part of the animal, the skin. No. The cheap part. The horn. Maybe from a important and a expensive, a rare species of an animal. No. Simple, common animal. From a behemoth. That's what God asks of you in Rosh Hashanah. How do you coronate God in Rosh Hashanah? Is that when you figure out as a Jew that all God asks of me is to take the lowest parts of myself, is to take the lowest parts of creation and to raise it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how you coronate God in this world. The way you coronate God in this world is not with tremendous fanfare like any other kings. It's when you realize that you have the power to take any little thing in this world and give it Kedusha. Any spot in this world and give it Kedusha and be able to give it sanctity. That's the Lubavitcher Rebbe says. Okay, let's go now to the camp of the Rambam, the real hardcore Rambam camp. So the Rambam tells us that the shofar is supposed to be Uru Yesheinu Mishinaschem. It's supposed to wake you up, you sleepers, from your slumber. Get up, wake up. It's a whole life change. The shofar is supposed to be a whole life change. We call Yom Trua. The day is defined by the shofar. So the shofar must obviously be something which redefines your day. The question is, how does the shofar redefine the nature of Rosh Hashanah itself? How does it redefine the holiday? What is it doing to it? So the Gemara talks about one of the sounds of the shofar, the primary sound, is the yavava, is the cry of the shofar. Where does the cry come from? So the Gemara says it comes from the mother of Sisra. Sisra was a great general. Sisra was a great general. And she was waiting for her son Sisra to come home from battle. And there she is, Nebuch, waiting in the window, looking, and she gets the news, Sisra is not coming home. And she lets out a yavava. Why her? I mean, what's the connection? What's the link? What's going on here? The trua is also used. You know when else it's used? It's used whenever the Jews would pick up in the wilderness and move their camp. Whenever they would move again, there would be a kol trua. Unkelus says over there in the moving of the camps, it was a kol yavava. It was that thin cry. It was that cry. So Rashi over there by the moving of the camps tells us that there are three things the Jews need every time they were going to move their camp. Number one, they needed the Dvar Hashem. They needed the word of God to say, time to move, Chevra. Number two, they need Moshe's intervention. Moshe saying ultimately that God wants us to pack up and start moving. And number three, they needed the sound of the shofar, the trua. Those are the three components. So what's the message here? What's the message? I think the message is as follows. The moving in the Midbar was one step closer for the Jewish people in their destiny. One step closer, moving forward the destiny of the Jewish people. And the message here is, you need all three in order to advance the destiny and the trajectory of the Jewish people. You need number one, you need the Word of God. You don't go anywhere without the Word of God. The Dvar Hashem in our lives, the mitzvah, you can't do anything without it. But that's not enough. It's not enough just to have the chumash, so to speak. You need to have the word of Moshe, the word of the prophets, the word of the Mesorah, the tradition, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, the teachings, the law that's been developed over the years that tells us how to understand the Dvar Hashem. And the third thing we need to understand in order to move the destiny of the Jewish people is you also need the Truah. What's the Truah? The Truah was the cry of the mother of Sisera when she realized, as powerful as my son is, as human beings, we're not in control. The humility to know that we're not in control of our own lives. We do the best we can in this world. We take the tools God gave us, but at the end of the day, we are not in control. And therefore, those three things we need to drive our destiny forward. To recognize the Dvar Hashem, to recognize that more than Dvar Hashem, we need to be part of the Mesorah, the tradition that develops the Dvar Hashem. And number three, the humility on our end to recognize that it doesn't start and end with us alone. That we're not in control of everything. It's not Kochi ba'otzem yadi. Okay, next, let's go to the Litvisha side. Let's go to the Chazanish now. Let's go to the Chazanish from Bnei Brak for a Litvisha understanding of the shofar blowing 5 minutes to shofar. So Rosh Hashanah Chafav Amid Beis tells us that the din is that a shofar is supposed to be a shofar Chafav. It's supposed to be a bent shofar. And the Gemara there has a machlokas that maybe it should be a straightened shofar. So Rashi says that part of the machlokas is really about how do we come to God in prayer. And the opinion that says a straight shofar understands that it's supposed to be pashtus, supposed to be straight. And we come to God with simplicity. With simplicity, says the Chazon Ish, what you see from this whole machlokas, bent shofar, straight shofar, simple, all God wants from us is simplicity in tefillah. Right? This whole shir, these shirim are predicated on how we make the whole thing fancy. How do I hear that one idea that's going to change my life? Chazon Ish says it's not about that. Chazon Ish says it's just about simple. Open up the Siddur. Open up the Chumash. Start simple. Daven, just with your heart open and say, God, I want to feel something this year. Simple. Pashtus. That's the message of the shofar. You're broken that you can't feel anything, or you stand simple waiting to feel something. That's the message of the shofar bent and the shofar straight. Let's move on. Let's continue. Now we go to Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav. We go to Yeshiva University a little bit. We go to the Rav. Beautiful insight. Right? It says in Tehillim, Kapitel Pei Tes, Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Truah. Praiseworthy is the people who are the knowers of Truah. Right? The knowers of this Truah. So what is this all about? So we know the shofar has a very strong symbol. The shofar is something very humble. We know the shofar's identity became formed already on Har HaMoriah by the Akedas Yitzchak, by the binding of Isaac. A very humbling moment for Avram Avinu when he almost had to slaughter his own son. We know that the idea of the shofar, the Gemara tells us it's supposed to be derech avaraso. You're supposed to blow it in the same way as though it's coming out of the animal. And the Medrash says it's as though it's still on the animal when you blow the shofar and you're in place of the animal. You see the idea, and I can give you many more sources, the idea that the shofar symbolizes this lowliness, this almost like an animal, the simple, the behema, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe's word before, taking from the lower, from the bottom, taking from the bottom and moving upwards. But at the same time, we know the shofar has a totally opposite symbolism, right? It says, we say, Halu b'tziltzalei trua, right? Halu b'tziltzalei trua. These were the beautiful trumpets, the brass, beautiful gold trumpets. The shofar was used for in the camp to go out to war, as Rabbi Union spoke about. It was used to awaken the people up. Uru yesheinu mishinaschem, to wake you up from your slumber. It's a sign of majesty. It's a sign of beauty. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah 27b tells us, when talking about the length of the shofar, it has to be minimally a tefa, which the Gemara Nida clarifies. Why? So that it sticks out of your hand. What a strange shear. What a strange measurement. Usually when I have a measurement, give me the measurement. It needs to be a kezias. It needs to be a tefach. It needs to be a tefach so it sticks out of your hand. So you could see it coming out of your hand. What's that about? So the Mefarshim say the same idea. The part of the shofar is that it has to look nice. It has to look like a beautiful instrument coming out of your hand. The shear of kezias is a law in the appearance. What's the message? That shofar is about beauty and majesty. So which one is it? Is it the lowly, humble animal, like a behemoth? Or is it the majestic? Is it the powerful? Is it the beautiful? Is it the magnificent? Which one is it? Says the Rav, says Rav Soloveitchik, that's Rosh Hashanah. It's both. Rosh Hashanah is both. Rosh Hashanah is the awesomeness of the day. The Yomim Narayim, the days of awe, as we call it. It's this awesome day when you come in with Simcha, the Simcha of Yontif. but on the inside you know you're also broken. Right? I think it's Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin who said that we blow always, the broken set is always in between the two straight tekiyas. Why? Because on the outside we look like we're strong, we're majestic, we're confident. We come into Shul Yantif with a new fruit, a new suit, the whole nine yards. But on the inside we're breaking. On the inside we're crumbling. That's the shvarim on the true on the inside and the tekiyas on the outside. We're wrapping up. We're almost done. Now let's get to the religious Zionist. We get to Rav Kook. What did Rav Kook have to say about the shofar blowing? So Rav Kook, in a beautiful speech given 1933, Rosh Hashanah in Yerushalayim, in the Old City. This was a terrible time and it was a beautiful time. Best of times, the worst of times. It was a time when suddenly the Jews were coming en masse. They're coming to Eretz Yisrael. They're starting to move even more and more. Starting with the students of the Baal Shem Tov, the students of the Vilna Gaon. They're coming in. But at the same time, Kristallnacht. The same time, Hitler's coming to power. What mixed feelings in the heart of Rav Kook when he got up to speak in front of his people. And Rav Kook said, Tiku b'shofar gadol. Blow, right, to blow that great shofar. What's the message? There's three shofars. Three dinim of shofar in the Gemara. There's the ideal mitzvah, which is the ram's horn. The ram's horn. That's number one. If you can't get the ram's horn, there's number two. There's any kosher animal. Any kosher animal, use the horn. That's if you can't get the ram's horn. And number three, the Gemara says, blowing, there's a value to blowing even a non-kosher animal's horn, but you don't make a bracha. The halacha is no bracha. Those are the three. Rav Kook said, we hope that the redemption of the Jewish people, that everyone can return holy, like the first one, the ram's horn, like the students of the Vilna Gaon, like the students of the Baal Shem Tov, like Rav Avadja Mibartanura, that they can come back like that. But then there's the second level. Those who have Jewish affiliation, Jewish culture, but don't really have much connection to the religion. They're Jewish. At least we hope they come back to the land of Israel. They should come back on their own and have some connection to Yiddishkeit. But then Rav Kook started crying and said, I hope we don't need the third shofar. The third non-kosher shofar is when the other nations of the world have to knock us out of their homes so we get into Eretz Yisrael. Have to say, Jew, you don't belong here, so we have to come back into the land. We hope that we don't have to return with the third non-kosher shofar. Tiku b'shofar gadol. May we get to blow the powerful and beautiful shofar. All right, we stop there.